You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, it's been a veritable trifecta, or a triumvirate, if you will, between Mark Weber in the first hour, Kevin McDonald in the second, and now Paul Fromm here in the third. That's a TPC all-star lineup for sure, and he's going to be closing out the show tonight by talking with us for the third time in 4 weeks. He, of course, is Paul Fromm, director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression. And so we've been having Paul on so often, unusually so, to talk about, of course, the Freedom Convoy up there in Canada. And it's a story that continues, and we certainly don't want to not give it an ending, or to have the man who's been with us to break it all down so expertly for so many weeks not be able to put a book into it. But it took another turn this week, did it not, when Justin Trudeau, the little dictator, would be to abruptly issue a revocation of the Emergencies Act. So he issued it 9 days ago, 10 days ago now maybe, and I don't think he expected to revoke it so soon, but maybe I'm wrong. That's why I'm calling Paul Fromm. Paul, what's going on up there? And thanks for being back with us for the third time in a month.
Well, two things, James. Number one, there was a run on the banks earlier this week, and banks pressured Trudeau to withdraw the Emergency Measures Act. Canadians suddenly woke up to the fact that their bank accounts were not safe. Under the Emergency Measures Act, people who supported the truckers, and it was not clear, was that just people who donated? In some cases, yes, those who donated to the GoFundMe. In other cases, it seemed that you had to actually have been involved in the protest up in Ottawa. But anyway, it was unclear. Over $7 million in people's bank accounts were stolen or frozen, and that's the same thing. And people understood. Where they could, a lot of people took their money out. And as you know, banking is a bit of a scamorama. They don't have the cash representing all the deposits that they hold. So any significant big demand for money suddenly shakes them. And I understand that early in the week, withdrawals were up about 500%. And a lot of people were taking their money out to, you know, maybe keep close to them, or in other cases, were moving their money to the United States or to other safe havens if they had a fair deal. And that's the sort of mass protest that's important. And I'm still urging people to go and talk to their bank manager and ask, is my money safe there? Put some pressure on them. Anyway, that's what happened. Despite the distraction, and I'm sure you were discussing it earlier in the show, of the war in the Ukraine, the protests continue across Canada. This was the monthly Worldwide Freedom Day protests that occurred throughout Western Europe, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and there were big protests in Toronto and in a number of other cities that I've heard already. So this is not over. There are going to be more trucker convoys. There may not be the sort of occupation that there was in Ottawa, but people are on the move and people are protesting, and they want their freedoms back.
Well, here was a headline down here, Paul, from CNN, don't you know? And the headline reads, Trudeau revokes Emergencies Act, saying existing laws are enough to deal with protesters. Now, I called BS on that headline point blank. And the reason that I did that was because how could Trudeau, first of all, not have known 9 days prior that the existing laws would have been enough, whatever enough entailed and whatever the existing laws may have been? You're saying there was a big run on the banks, which I'm sure is true. But if I have read into this correctly, Trudeau was stopped by the Canadian Senate. Now, you can tell me if that is or is not true, that he did not have the votes there. And if that is true, that's a major development, an unexpected blow to his regime, I'm sure.
Well, it's hard to know, but that was reported that he didn't have enough votes. So if it didn't pass the Senate, then it dies as legislation. So rather than go through the humiliation, he withdrew it. But I think part of the pressure there was the run on the banks. Finally, a lot of people have gotten the message that much of this rotten globalist establishment cannot be trusted, not even trusted to fulfill their fiduciary obligations to protect the deposits of the depositors, we are in profoundly shifting times.
Well, I will certainly say, and we'll get into that with you in the next segment. I mean, perhaps more than either of us know, but it certainly would appear as though Trudeau didn't invoke the Emergencies Act just to revoke them a week later, unless things didn't go according to his plans. And so let's bring this now. You've been with us. You've been so great, Paul. You've been traveling the entire expanse of Canada, fighting this fight while simultaneously appearing with us 3 out of the last 4 weeks. And I thank you for that. I text you, I call you at a moment's notice or a day's notice, and you're here with us every time. You've been such a great friend and such a great guest to talk about this issue. But what would you say, where would you say it stands now in summation? If it is now beginning to dwindle down from the reality that it was a month ago, and even 2 weeks ago, what do you say the legacy of this will be? Has it been a win for the populists and the patriots? And where do you see this going forward? I know it's hard to predict, but days and weeks into the future.
Oh, I don't think it's exactly dwindling. The protests, I think we will see when this weekend is tabulated, have actually been growing. There's more people in protesting in Ottawa today. That's not a trucker convoy, but people have not given up. People are in the streets, and they want change. They want all the mandates gone, and they don't want them coming back. And some provinces are removing the provincial mandates, and that's good. But this is not over. Trudeau did not end the protest. The protest goes on, and he looks at it. Well, one of the delightful things that happened this week was that the Supreme Council, I believe it's the Supreme Council of the Islamic Republic of Iran, put out a firm statement denouncing dictator Trudeau's assault on free speech and human rights. And I thought that was kind of clever.
No, that's interesting. That's interesting. So that would lead me to another question, and we're about to come up on a break, but what gains have been won in the last month? I mean, we've talked about the revocation of the Emergencies Act, which I believe was not something Trudeau had intended to do within a week, whatever the reason. What gains have been won that you think can directly... Well, we're coming up on a break. I'll ask you that question again right after we come back from this, and we have you for one more segment. And after you answer that question, we'll ask you... about your take on what's going on in Russia. We got to get you to chime in on that as well. So stay tuned, everybody. Paul Fromm of the Canadian Association for Free Expression, a true patriot and a true hero for our people, whether you live here or there or abroad, Paul Fromm's your guy. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Well, I was just telling Paul Fromm, I was 19 years old when I first engaged in this cause, and I'm 41 years old now, been a host of this radio program for 18 years, and this is a guy, really everybody you've heard from tonight, a true brother, a good friend and a great guest for a long, long time. That's Paul Fromm. Always a pleasure to have him on the program, but this last month has been particularly and really unprecedentedly intensive. We've had Paul Fromm on a lot. What's going on in Canada is a big deal. Paul, I want to ask you this question one more time, and a quick answer could suffice, and then I want to transition into what's going on in Russia and the Ukraine. I want to get your comment on that to pair it with what we've heard from Mark Weber and Kevin McDonald tonight, also good friends and peers. But what do you think, as it stands right now, and of course this will change, it will change next week and a month from now and 6 months from now and on into the future, but what are the gains that have been made from the freedom convoys as we sit tonight? Where can you point to and say, that would not have happened, this would not be as it is now had it not been for this action?
Well, the city of Ottawa got rid of its affirmative action chief of police. I'm not sure the replacement, who is white, is any better, but that was one thing. Another thing is provincial premiers have suddenly decided they've got to get rid of their mandates, not in every province and not entirely, but increased, and that's all to the good. And then people have now discovered their camaraderie and their power. I probably mentioned last week of the tremendous camaraderie, love that's going on at these protests. People are feeling their strength, and this basically is a white working class revolution. And that's absolutely hated by the globalists, which is why they went after the bank accounts.
All right. That being said, and I know that this is not over. I did not. If I alluded to that, this is in its waning period. It's not. I was just making a mention of, to this point, this is where we stand. But yes, you were sharing with me off the air earlier this week that you've been across the country and attending different rallies that are still ongoing. This is not a done deal. This is not over yet, at least in the hearts and minds of the populist rebellion up there, and I use that in the most endearing way imaginable, but this is still happening. This is still taking place, but as we stand right now, Trudeau has revoked the Emergencies Act, and that's a very, very good thing, and I think unexpected in light of the fact that he just invoked it a week ago, or a little more than a week ago. And of course, there's been other gains that Paul Fromm has mentioned. Now, Let's tie this in with some other things that have happened over the course of the last, really less than the last year. And that is that the Taliban has retaken Afghanistan. What we've seen here in Canada with the truckers' revolt has shaken dictator Trudeau's regime. Now what we see in Russia and the Ukraine. In your opinion, Paul, are these events and others exposing fault lines in the existing world order that has been led by default by the global American empire? I mean, all of these are very interesting developments. Are we witnessing a fracturing of the current geopolitical world order?
Yes, I think we are, James. And at meetings I've held in two in Vancouver, one in Edmonton last night, I canvassed people after we had the main talk about the truckers, about their views on the Ukraine. And this is what I got unanimously from a Bulgarian fellow, a couple Polish guys, a Latvian fellow, and then yesterday on a show I did with Sam Dixon and Charles Edward Lincoln, Sam is an expert on Russia. Anyway, bottom line is this: Putin is right. Putin is trying to protect his western border, and Sam made the analogy: if during the Cold War Mexico had gone communist and they had said they were going to join the Warsaw Pact and there'd be Soviet troops and tanks on the American border, would the United States have put up with it? And the answer is they wouldn't. Things went well between Russia and the Ukraine up until 2011. And then the globalists engineered the so-called Yellow Revolution and really heated up the animosity to Putin. Putin does not want a NATO nation on its immediate western border. That's reasonable. The Ukrainians, of course, deserve the sovereignty and could have kept it, but they simply would not give, and they continue to persecute the Russian minority in two eastern areas of the Ukraine, the Donbass, this one, and the name of the other one slips my mind for the moment. So essentially what Putin is doing is out of frustration, trying to alter the situation. The Ukraine has been heavily backed by the globalists. It's become a money laundering mecca, and has been very heavily controlled by very, very corrupt oligarchs. And the current president, for whatever it's worth, is Jewish. And rather interestingly, both sides are accusing the other of being Nazis.
I saw a joke about that this week, Paul. And you're a funny guy. Not in the Goodfellas. there's that exchange in the movie Goodfellas where you're calling me a funny guy. You know, Paul, you've always had a great sense of humor. But Steve Saylor was saying if China went to war, they would declare that whoever they went to war with were Nazis. So we've seen this, and I've had to have a laugh about it because every side is calling the other side a Nazi now.
Well, there's an unusual thing about this. It's Nazi, 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 Nazi. In fact, Trudeau also said that the truckers' convoy was infiltrated with Nazis. there have been a couple of incidents in Toronto elementary schools, of kids doing the Sieg Heil salute or the Roman salute. And oh, there's just a complete kerfuffle going on about this, and oh, they've got to up the Holocaust education. Oh, what a terrible thing. It's kids. Kids being kids. And where are they picking this up? Well, every time you turn on the TV, somebody's accused of being a Nazi. I think you're going to see a renewed interest in National Socialism and the Third Reich on the part of a much younger generation. Of course, all of this is totally phony. The Jewish Zelensky is obviously not a Nazi. Putin is not a Nazi, and the Canadian truckers were not Nazis. The N-word has been overused to the point that it's no longer biting.
And that's a good thing. I mean, we've got to get over this. And that's another thing that I've seen this weekend. The smears no longer work. I question why Putin himself would have even gone to the extent of calling his foe a Nazi just to sort of justify what he's doing. I mean, what he was doing, I think, was justifiable based upon the facts, but why he had to call the Ukrainians Nazis while they were calling him Nazis and while the West was calling him Nazi and Canada and, you know, everybody was interesting. But these smears no longer work. I mean, they're falling on deaf ears. Everybody's a Nazi. Everybody's a white supremacist. I mean, I wrote about this in 2010, for God's sake, in my book. If you're white, you're a racist. Anything that the left doesn't like is racism. So this is beginning to peter out a little bit, I think. But nevertheless, what's going on in Russia and the Ukraine is far from settled. So, Paul, with seconds remaining, where do you see this going?
My guess is that the Ukrainians are not, it will not be able to stop the Russians, and I think they will have to do a political deal. Occupying the Ukraine would be possible, but it would come at a tremendous expense, and there would be ongoing guerrilla warfare. I think the political solution would be some sort of a deal where they agree not to join NATO. That might.
Well, let's hope that that's what's happened. Let's hope that that is what happens, and we'll see over the next coming days and weeks to be sure. We'll keep an eye on it, and we'll continue to have great guests like Paul Fromm here to comment on it. We'll be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, is now under fire from Russian forces. This man explains the scene.
He went out just for half an hour, and then shelling began again.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken authorized $350 million to help Ukraine fend off the Russians. Over the past year, the U.S. has given more than $1 billion to security assistance to Ukraine. Authorities say columns of Russian troops with heavy weaponry are approaching major cities in the country. President Zelensky recorded a defiant video on the streets of Kyiv.
We will not lay down the weapons. We will defend our state.
The UN says 120,000 people have made it out of the country, mostly women and children, because men have been ordered to stay behind to fight the Russians. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn-Root. It's official. Inflation is at its highest level since the 1980s, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. What most people don't know is that it's actually much worse. Inflation may be higher now than the 1980s, since the new measurements exclude food and energy. Gas prices up 58%, energy up 33%. What can you do about it? Protect yourself and your family. Only gold, silver, and other hard assets give you true protection. My friends at Tangible Investments guarantee the absolute lowest prices on precious metals. Check them out at TII1.com or call 800-300-8441. Tangible Investments has 40 years of experience and billions, that's with a B, billions in transactions. Call 800-300-8441 if you want help with gold, silver, platinum. They guarantee you the best prices plus excellent service. Call Tangible Investments now, 800-300-8441, or visit TII1.com. They also provide free verbal appraisals.
The CDC is announcing it's loosening mask guidelines for U.S. residents, allowing most people to leave their coverings behind in indoor public locations. Previously, the CDC recommended wearing masks in public indoor spaces like movie theaters and churches and in areas with substantial or high transmission of the coronavirus. During a briefing at the White House on Friday, Press Secretary Jen Psaki was asked if there's any concern that people will take this to mean that the pandemic is over in the U.S.
There are still people dying every day of COVID. There are still immunocompromised populations. But what we are trying to work towards is a period of time where we are, where COVID is not disrupting our daily lives.
About 65% of the American population is fully vaccinated, and over 93 million Americans are boosted. You're listening to USA Radio News.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard from Mark Weber, Kevin McDonald, and Paul Fromm tonight. Now, we close the show with our contributor, Jack Ryan. Of course, the conversation will continue as it has for all but one segment. We had to have Paul comment on the revocation of the Emergencies Act by Justin Trudeau, the Canadian dictator. But now Jack will refocus us on the situation between Russia and the Ukraine. And Jack, you'll do it with a little bit of family history that I think that our other guest tonight couldn't say that they have. Your grandfather, if I'm not mistaken, was a soldier in the White Army.
Yeah, yes, this is true. My grandfather fought 100 years ago in the Civil War against the communists, against Trotsky's Red Army and the White Army. We were a noble family, a famous family, that we were descendant of Catherine the Great. She was a German princess. They married her off to the Russian Tsar. The Russian Tsar was kind of a weakling. They had a coup. They killed the Tsar, and they made Catherine the empress. She's the only woman leader of Russia in their history, but she was a brilliant woman, managed men very well, and that's why they call her Catherine the Great. There's Peter the Great, and they might, if this war comes out, they might make Vladimir Putin the Great. So I know all this Russian history. It's sad what's happening in Ukraine and there. And I don't know, we can give some advice about Americans in Tennessee what to do. But it involves just different powers that be. There's ethnic, Slavic Christians, Orthodox Christians, and things like that. But I can tell you all that they are is to be. It's sad. But, I know all this stuff, and we were a big family in Russia, but we lost to the communists 100 years ago.
Well, in honor of your grandfather, Jack, we will play the very best version of the Russian anthem that we could find. This is from the Bolshoi Junior Choir. We'll just play just a couple of seconds of it. You know, it's beautiful, ladies and gentlemen. That is a European expression. It's an expression of European mankind. These are not our enemies. These are our brothers, and these are our cousins. And
very beautiful anthem. It's a beautiful anthem. It's gorgeous. Yeah.
Well, it absolutely is. And Sam Dixon was over there in Russia just a few years ago, just a couple of years ago to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the murder of Tsar Nicholas and his family. And it was a great two-part set we did with Sam when he returned to the United States from that trip. He was there with Bill Regnery, the late, great Bill Regnery, and others. But yes, I mean, these are not our enemies. I mean, this is the thing. These are, historically, these are our people. These are our very flesh and blood. These are our kinsmen. perhaps not as related as a Mississippian here in the United States would be to a Georgian or an Alabamian or a Tennessean, but these are certainly more our people than others would be. And to say that, and yes, we believe in no more brothers wars. We certainly don't want there to be a bloody and violent conflict with the Ukrainians, but we've been talking this whole program about the facts of the matter and the facts of the conflict. So, Jack, to you on that, we've heard from some great men tonight. What do you see has sort of played into all of this, and what do you think the solution will be? What is your take on the conflict as it stands tonight?
It is a brother civil war. It's like British and Irish people fighting in Northern Ireland, Ulster, dividing over Christian denominations and things like that. There's not good guys and bad guys, because most people are good guys in this. But, I mean, there, a lot of the big problems that we have with our people is that our people are living in the past. They don't take knowledge of the different changes that have happened, good or bad. You see that in Southerners that kept being loyal to the Democratic Party because the Democratic Party was the party of their grandfathers, the great-grandfathers, and great, and they, but things had changed, that the Democratic Party used to be the Southern Democratic Party, got taken over nationally by Jacob Javits or Jesse Jackson, or even that crack cocaine-smoking guy who was the mayor of Washington, Marion Barry or something like that. We haven't changed. Ukrainians were, and Russians in my grandfather's time, they were the same country. They were the Tsarist Russia. The great Cossacks came out of there, but so many people got just butchered under communism. I think the British historian Robert Conquest said 40 million people died under Soviet communism. No people got butchered worse than the Ukrainians in the collectivation of the private Christian farmland. That is called the Holodomor, where I think about a million people starved to death. So Germany would have won World War II. They should have won World War II if they had gotten more Slavic support. They got the Croatian and the Ukrainians, but they didn't get enough. And that was probably because Himmler and Hitler were anti-Slav. So they have it. So you can see the Ukrainians blamed Russia for the communist Holodomor. It really wasn't Russian. It certainly wasn't Russian Christians that did that to them. And so they've got that chip on the shoulder, and they blame the Russians for the horrible things of communists. And so they're looking to go back towards Europe or Germany, but it's just not the same situation. So our people should be, we want to stay out of it, and we would hopefully that these Ukrainians and Russians can make peace. They used to do royal marriages back in the day. My ancestor, Catherine the Great, was a German princess. They married her to a Russian czar. We could have some marriages between Ukrainian boxers and some Russian tennis players to try to make peace. So that's what we're going to do. There's not that really that much we can do other than say stay out of it, stay out of this ones, and let's, you know, Ann Coulter probably always has the best. I don't like her. She does not like me, but she's always the best. It's like, we don't need to be involved in Ukrainian-Russian border things. We need to secure our border because we're being invaded by like 300,000 Mayan Indian illegal aliens disease every month. So just don't jump in the middle of the Russian-Ukrainian war. We hope it works out okay. Hopefully it won't be a world war, but the situation there is similar to what happened in World War II, where Germany felt that German populations in Poland, in Danzig, or Czechoslovakia, or the Volga Germans were threatened, and they need to go into this. And so Russia feels that Russian citizens in the eastern part of Ukraine are threatened. And so they're trying to say that we have to be strong, we got to be world power. So all these stand countries, Chechnya, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, if you show weakness, they're all going to revolt against them. So the Russian czar is Vladimir Putin, and so he has to be a strong guy like Peter the Great or Catherine the Great. So that's what he's doing. I don't know. What do our listeners do? Not much. Just try to stay out of it and wish for the best, and then try to help. We got all these refugees from Somalia and things like that. Bring some refugees from Ukraine. You know, support them. So that's what we can do.
And we will play the March of the Ukrainian Nationalists in the next segment. This is a brothers' conflict, and we don't like that, but we understand in this case why it has occurred, and we have talked about that over the course of the last 2.5 hours and change. Now, my default position, by the way, my default position is if the American media, the system media, is telling me something, I believe the exact opposite. If this regime government, this system government, is doing something, I believe the exact opposite is in my best interest. And so that's how I plot my North Star. And it is to basically believe and do the exact opposite of what the media and the government in this country is saying. And if you do that, you will, 9 times out of 10, end up on the right position. I will tell you this, either way, when compared to Putin, what we've seen from Putin this week, Biden looks entirely weak, lost, and insignificant, if not nursing home bound. Perhaps they pulled him out of the nursing home to appear so weak, lost, and insignificant. But this is, boy, we, quote unquote, we are really outmatched here at the in terms of heads of state. We'll be right back. One more segment tonight.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Pat Buchanan had this to say on the topic we have been covering all night when Russia's Vladimir Putin demanded that the U.S. rule out Ukraine as a future member of NATO alliance. The U.S. archly replied, NATO has an open-door policy. Any nation, including Ukraine, may apply for membership and be admitted. We're not changing that. And the Bucharest Declaration of 2008, NATO had put Ukraine and Georgia ever further east in the Caucasus on a path to membership in NATO and coverage under the Article 5 of the treaty, which declares that an attack on any one member is an attack on all. So again, you would have to be blind, deaf, and dumb all at once, by the way, to not be able to see Putin's point of view on this. But yet there is still so much fake news out there. Jack, you know, you normally come on at the end of a program to offer a little levity, a little comedy.
Comedy.
Right.
You know, we like to have a good time at the end of a show. I mean, it's hard to do that tonight, right. But if you try, you can. And that is the propaganda that we've seen this week. I have seen stuff that I've never thought. We touched on it earlier, but here is, there's a picture of a little boy and a little girl, presumably a brother and a sister. The girl is wearing a pink jacket, and she's holding a teddy bear. And her brother is saluting the Russian, the Ukrainian tank, as it rolls past them, and he's saluting them, and they're holding hands. The neocon establishment is saying these are photos that are going to be with us for a long time, as if this is something that has happened like within the last few hours or days. No, this was something that happened, and it's a picture from 2016. And here, this idiot or this liar. Are saying this is a breaking news story that was put out by establishment media people. Reports coming in from an unknown, seemingly high-tech robot suit seen flying above Kiev. Some claim that three Russian fighter jets were downed by it. In other words, Iron Man is leading the Avengers against the Russian Hitler. But this was something, this was some idiot that built a contraption in Los Angeles, and he was like flying around in it. And there's been so many things like that. I'd said this earlier. Zelensky pictured examining the Ukrainian border last year, but now there's images that the images are being repurposed to say he is out there on the front lines with his army. I mean, it's all so fake. It's all so fake, and it's so disgusting. But comment on that, and then we're going to play the March of the Ukrainian Nationalists. Then we're going to give Keith Alexander a final word. He's back with us. Go, Jack.
Okay, these horrible neoconservatives and also the military-industrial complex, the Dick Cheney and his daughter, what is her name, Liz Cheney, they'll go for any war. A lot of times we feel that all of our work that we do doesn't have any influence, and I've been working this every day of my life for the last 30 years. So there is less support for these neoconservative globalist wars interventions than there were back in 1991 when I did a one-man crusade to stop the first American war in Iraq. So I think the polling was only like 25% of Americans want us to intervene and do military interventions in the Ukrainian-Russian thing. So I think that our activism does have some, it does have some impact. So things like that, it's not the, but it's the same propaganda, always the enemy. Any type of European country or secular Arab country like Syria or Saddam Hussein's Iraq, they always try to say that the enemy is Hitler. And everyone is like, we got to stop against Hitler and not be appeasing. And you saw in Syria that Syria was gassing little children and things. That was an obviously reference to the fake propaganda of World War II. So the neoconservative Zionist warmongers, they've been beaten back a lot. They're still trying to come back, and they're trying to get us involved in the Ukraine thing. I don't think it's really having a big effect. I think most Americans are just pissed off that gas prices are going through the roof and things like that. So I just think we should talk to our listeners to say, don't listen to propaganda. Don't jump into these wars. We got to protect our own self. We have to protect our borders. But it is what it is. We don't control the media. We don't have a single Hollywood studio. We only got one guy on network TV, Tucker Carlson, that tells the truth. He's the only guy. But that it is what it is, and we try to do our best, and we can't despair, but sucks, basically.
Well, listen. Listen, we want to toss it over to Keith Alexander, and before we do, we want to play. Jack Ryan came with me tonight, and he said, listen, can we play the Russian national anthem, and can we also play the March of the Ukrainian Nationalists? Because at the end of the day, it is about no brothers wars, but we have to understand, listen, you got this government over there, this color revolution. You've got Ukraine operating basically as a functionary of the State Department here. I mean, so, okay, we understand why there's conflict, but that doesn't mean that for the innocent Ukrainians, our white brothers and sisters and cousins over there, that we don't stand with them as well. We do, and this is the March of the Ukrainian Nationalists as presented to us and as given to us by Jack Ryan.
Зродились ми з великої години, з пожеж війни, і з полум'я вогнів плекав наш біль. По втраті України кормив нас гнів і злість на ворогів. І ми йдемо у бою життєвому, тверді, міцні, незламні, мов граніт, поплаж не дав свободи ще нікому. А хто борець, той здобуває світ.
You know, it's beautiful. The Russians are beautiful. The Ukrainians are beautiful. They're all part of our European family. Jack, tell us very quickly, and I want to give Keith the final word on the show tonight, but tell us very quickly why you wanted to present that as part of the musical
I want to just show
approach
patriotic
of the program tonight as well.
From both sides. And again, it's very much like the conflict in Northern Ireland, Ulster. They're both sides, and you can see they're perspective. They have their own, but we don't want to, we want to just have peace between these people. And that's why I think like royal marriages, like the one from my ancestor, Catherine, who was a German princess, they married her off to the Russian Tsar. So they, both sides have honorable things. They have beautiful music. And I would say to our listeners, I'm ready to marry any one of these traditional young women from Ukraine or Russia. And I almost proposed to my Ukrainian housekeeper that have any of these women are better than Hillary Clinton, law school, god awful women that they have. So they're so, I'm like both sides come in, like stop fighting. And here in Chicago, I'm outside of the city, but there, but we have all these people, these both in all the sides of Yugoslavia, the Serbs and Croatians, they're here and they don't fight and kill each other here. They are the superintendents, they're the plumbers and stuff. And they don't worry about the Orthodox or Catholic divisions and things like that. Black gang members, peace between these people. So that,
we can always find a way to have a chuckle, Jack, when we're together, no matter what the topic is. But it is true, and it is true. And what is true is we're all one European family. Let's remember who the true enemy is. Let's remember that we're related here. Let's not fight each other. Let's throw off the yoke of that.
Make love, not war. Make Christian marriage love, but not war. And we
there you go. Well, let's remember, hey, Ukrainians and Russians. I mean, Ukrainians are Russians. And, I mean, let's just face it. But, all right, Keith. Keith Alexander, a final word to you. We'll be back together in the studio next week for the first time in a couple of weeks. It's been a crazy schedule. But anyway, I know you want to give a shout-out and a final word to you on the big topic of the night as well.
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to a guy named Confederate Man, a young man who is in the League of the South from New York. And he had me on his show, and I'm very impressed with him. And I think everybody ought to give a listen to him, find him on the Internet. But let me say about this Ukrainian-Russian war, okay? I feel sorry for the Ukrainians because they've been played incredibly by the U.S. State Department and by the United States Foreign Policy and Diplomatic Corps. They are now left by themselves to fight Russia. There's no way they can win that conflict. That's going to cause suffering and bloodshed that's totally needless. All that Joe Biden had to do was say that we're not going to allow Ukraine to join NATO. And all that Putin wanted was what John Kennedy wanted in the Cuban Missile Crisis. He doesn't want an aggressive, hostile foreign power, in this case the United States, with the ability to put nuclear-tipped missiles on his doorstep, which is that's the same conundrum that we were facing back in the John Kennedy administration regarding the Cuban Missile Crisis. But, you know, like Jack said, the CIA and our other espionage agencies basically stirred up what they call a color revolution, the Orange Revolution, where they removed a pro-Russian president of Ukraine with this Jewish comedian character. It's like making Stephen Colbert the president of the United States. And I don't think that people know exactly what is involved with being America's friend nowadays. It means that you are there on board for spreading democracy. Now, what is democracy? Well, in the eyes of the progressive left, it means sex change operations for your children. It means LGBTQ rights, stuff like this. And that's a bridge too far for most people in the world. And I'm sure that the Ukrainians wouldn't like that if that were enforced upon them. So shame on America.
Want to thank Keith Alexander
for getting these people in this firing, in harm's way.
Thanks to Keith Alexander, Jack Ryan, our guests tonight, Mark Weber, Kevin McDonald, and Paul Fromm. I'm James Edwards. Next week, we start our month-long special series. Only international guests will be on the program during our March Around the World. It starts next week. It's the highlight of my broadcasting calendar. We have a great lineup for you. All throughout the month of March, we'll march around the world together starting next week. Good night, everybody, and Godspeed.